Welcome back to Don't Hit Brass Tacks. Are you still there, Cyprian?
Yes, Peter.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead. So you were saying that we're getting mixed messages, and you were raising concerns about mixed messages that were being sent. Carry on,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, that's the main thing there, because we're seeing so many. For example, you tell people, well, you get a message, you need to stock up for the next couple of weeks. So when you tell people that they need to stock up for the next couple of weeks, people are going to go to your supermarket in droves to stock up for the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And then you complain and say, but two people are taking too many things, and then you're getting a message from the supermarket, well, there's no need to do this here because we have adequate supplies, right? So that will last us several months. So in short, if you maintain your regular shopping pattern, which is you go to the supermarket ever so often and maybe get one or two things extra, then everything will be fine. Yeah.
But it's important that you stress that, and I think it's important that as many people as possible repeat the fact that things can, especially in terms of shopping, the worst thing you can do is hoard, and that, you know, it's important for us to continue to shop the traditions of shopping lightly for like a week or so. So, yeah,
right.
For sure.
And like you tell people, okay, you need to stock up. Let's say, we're hearing, well, the ones on the pharmacies now. Because people have been told, well, you need to have medications for X amount of months, or there's fear that the pharmacies are going to close. And so therefore, you're going to get a whole bunch of people that are going to the pharmacies. Yeah. Right? So it's causing the main thing.
Well, you know, from the beginning, though, the Prime Minister has been very clear that, you know, there's no need to hoard, there's no need to rush, that we have ample food. And I guess a lot of people just never got the message.
Right. But now, this thing with the situation, let's say with all closing our borders, running a country is not an easy task. There are a lot of decisions that have to be made and weighed. It's not easy, especially now for Barbados, in the situation that we have where we do not, I'm not going to say we can't grow our own food. I hate when I hear people say that. The fact is we do not grow our own food enough to supply our own country. And we have heavily to depend on imports. Now, to me, a cargo ship coming into Barbados shouldn't pose that much of a problem, because you should be able to screen. It should have a small crew, and that small crew, even smaller the amount of people, then who have to interact with the people in the port itself, and those people could be tested. If you want, let's say you could have a boat come in and it could sit out there for a couple of days while the people on the boat are tested, whether they have virus or not, and if everything is...
If a cargo ship is coming in to deliver goods, why is it necessary for anybody to come off, period?
No, but I'm just saying, if the people that have to come off to interact, I don't know. All I'm saying is, what I'm trying to get across, my main point is, there should be no fear from allowing certain cargo ships to come in. The challenge is, can you test, make sure that test can be done safely or what have you, right? So therefore, the idea then of absolutely closing your borders is not necessary. Mm-hmm. The challenge we do have is with the airport. That's a totally different story. But again, mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to tell the authorities what to do in that respect. They will make that determination. Now,
And I thought that was just a contribution. Because
because I want to really truly talk about the comments which I've heard you made, let's say, in terms of the government. My position, to start, is that no party should be given any money from the taxpayers' purse.
You've said this
order
before.
To that activity.
Right. You've said this before.
Right. And hold on, but now with respect to this thing with the opposition, as far as I'm concerned, the party that won, according to our legislation, or according to what has happened before, right? Let's say I'm going to go along with the laws that we have right now, and that a party gets, if it is in opposite, if it gets in the thing or whatever. The Barbados Labour Party won the seats, therefore the Barbados Labour Party gets the money. If you leave the Barbados Labour Party after, that has nothing to do with anything else, whether you form another party or not. Mm-hmm. Because the Barbados Labour Party was given the money for winning and getting in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. So therefore, the DLP and everybody else getting the opposition, the current opposition, should get money or not, I think, no, they shouldn't. Now, in terms of my position, what I would like to see happen is that government focuses on new ideas for governance in the 21st century. After this situation, there are a whole bunch of different things that have to be taken care of in terms of education and all that sort of stuff. But really and truly, I want to see new ideas being brought about as to how government should be done in the 21st century. And this idea that we only, when we get a vote, it's only about voting for one person to only put your little X on it. Developed countries don't do that. Developed countries, the people are asked to make decisions on a whole bunch of different things when it comes to times of elections. The people have a lot more say in what goes on and how things are done. But in a lot of cases here, what we have is that people, individual opinions running this country. Individual opinions and views about the death penalty, for example. How come the death penalty question isn't put to a referendum? Because certain people know, well, if it's put to a referendum, it's going to be yes. So therefore, they then refuse to bring that to referendum.
Do you think that matters of life and death should go to referendum?
Not necessarily, but that's not what I'm trying to get across.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is that a lot of the things that are done in Barbados are done because individuals have made certain decisions whether they are going to support them or not.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we had a situation with the last death penalty case, or the death penalty case where we had the refusal of the Governor General at the time to sign the warrant. So therefore, although the state itself has said, listen, this execution is supposed to happen and must go through, one person said no, because her view against the death penalty was that, no, we don't want death penalty. And that, to me, is wrong. Because that then is also what happens in a lot of other things that are going on in Barbados. One individual, one or two individuals, made determination as to what is going to happen or not going to happen, despite what the state will want, or despite what is best for the state. I have said already that a lot of these cases that we have in Barbados, a lot of these situations of murder that we have in Barbados, are done because the people believe that the penalties, that there's no penalty, that they're quite prepared to accept the fact that they can go up to Dodds and cool out with their friends. And when you take that away from them, when you say, no, that ain't gonna happen. You don't go your neck and get popped. A lot of the crime in Barbados will stop.
No. I've heard the theory repeated several times, and I don't know. I'm anxious to respond to you, Cyprian, but I know that we're not going to get anywhere.
I know, don't worry.
And there's already 23 minutes past the hour.
You'll come to understanding sooner or later that everything I say is right.
I will. Everything?
You get it close to that. Don't worry. I'm right about a lot of things.
I presume that as a result of these new social distancing regulations, I won't be able to speak to you in another place anytime soon. So
no.
we will discuss these matters at a future time when all of these horrible restrictions are lifted and we understand that they're necessary. But it really does change life. I want to thank you. You had a good run and raised several issues. And we're going to move on now. A couple of housekeeping matters. I'm trying to find a guy that goes by the name of Brains. He calls in on the program. He talks a lot about matters relating to shipping or whatnot. I was a little concerned because I haven't heard him for some time. And I know that he has had some health challenges in the past. I'm hoping that all is well. So if anyone out there has any information on how I can find this gentleman, I know his real name, but I'm not going to put him on the radio. If he can give me a call, or anyone who knows him can ask him to give me a call, because all the numbers I have for him are not working. His WhatsApp and so on is not working. Just to make sure that all is well. We often have very contentious arguments, but nonetheless, I still want to make sure that all is well with him. The other point is that someone is saying to me, I have a WhatsApp message from Auntie America, speaking about Reverend Adley. Auntie America, I'm not going to read your WhatsApps. You need to call the program and interact as you have in the past. The program misses your distinguished contribution And it is my hope that you will soon reverse your decision, as you have had every time in the past when you've said you're finished with us and you will come back, that you'll come back on the program. So I'm not reading your WhatsApp. You want to talk to me? Come on the program and let's talk and let's have one of our famous conversations, which I think helped to raise the level of consciousness in Barbados. Philip says, Peter, it's a matter of agreement and disagreement, but telling the gentleman that people like himself are insanely delusional is quite ill-mannered and beneath yourself. It is not my place, however, to suggest an apology. Well, Philip, I do have considerable respect for you, and that's the reason why I read the comment. The reality is that he suggested that I was insanely delusional, and I felt it only fair that I should return the favor. But I do agree with you that, in the good words of Michelle Obama, when they go low by suggesting that he was as insanely delusional as he suggested that I was. So my apologies to him and to whoever else may have been listening, that that is not a reference which I think is becoming of a person or a comment that is becoming of a person such as myself. So Philip, I appreciate your intervention. There are sadly too few people out there from whom I receive guidance these days, like Philip. So thank you for the intervention. Somebody sent me that Arthur is also missing in action. Arthur has not been calling me for a while, so I wasn't aware that he also was missing in action. But, you know, a good word from Arthur would also be appreciated. All right, a couple of people telling me that they don't want to hear anti-America. I have to disagree. I do feel that we need to hear anti-America. It's not that people haven't gotten the message about hoarding. There are all kinds of people and voice notes going out there. And the most recent one I got says that there will be a shutdown by the end of the week and government isn't saying anything that the said person that's taken proceeds to the pharmacist, and the reliable information coming from a nurse that along with a source at CIBC that we need to get 2 months supply of food, medical supplies and cash. Should we disregard the government's word that the hospital and pharmacy is not supplied Barbadian 6 months supply of medication, only given 2 months supply? I think something needs to be done about the swarm of WhatsApp messages that are untrue. They're driving fear and panic in people's hearts. And that is entirely true. I think something needs to be done about it. Many of them are coming with a greater level of confidence. We saw one a few days ago. My feeling is that when someone gets locked up for this nonsense, then that nonsense will stop. And that certainly is my hope. Let's see if we can get that final call in, 4341790. Oh, okay, we can. Okay, we're going to take a break. We go to the latest, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation on Down to Brass Tacks. Yeah, good morning. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks, 4341790. I understand I have an important caller on the line.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. But I understand you have some bad news to share with me.
This is George speaking.
Yeah, George. Go right ahead, sir.
I was reliably informed last night that our beloved Alpha, who called on the program, passed away yesterday.
Yeah, I was quite shocked to hear that from you in the break. Apparently, was he ill, or you have any information on the situation?
He was ill for some time, yes. Mm-hmm. He was aching for some time. If you remember, the last time he called, his voice was very teeny.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have, the voice was not as strong as it was. And I used to be checking on him, and I was told that he wasn't well for work.
So it's basically only in the last 24 hours that he's passed?
That I heard about it. Yeah. I was reliably informed by someone who should know. Mm-hmm. People who visit him, I was told by them.
Okay. Well, I mean, I want to thank you for conveying that information. Arthur was a person who I actually started to chat with back at CBC. Back in the day, one could argue. It seems like an eternity.
Yeah.
I always thought he was a pleasant old guy who
was
anxious to interact. Many of his views were a bit on the far right of mine, but nonetheless, it was always a jolly person to speak to.
Yeah, he's a very nice person. Yeah. If you get to know him, you understand he's very, very nice.
Do you know anything of Arthur's background before he retired? What did he do for work and that type of thing?
I know he used to be a civil servant here before he went to Canada.
Okay. Oh, so he lived in Canada for a while?
He lived in Canada for a while, yes. And he always boasted of his accomplishment skills.
Mm-hmm. Was he a family man? He had a wife and children and so on?
He had a wife and a daughter, yes.
He has a daughter. Okay. So the daughter is here in Barbados?
He's a wife from St. John, and he was a large boy, too.
And the wife is still alive?
Everybody is there.
Everybody's alive. Okay. But he lived alone.
Yes, he lived alone.
But his wife is alive?
Not far from me. His wife and his daughter is available, yeah.
Oh, but he didn't live with the wife and daughter?
No.
Oh, okay, I see. All right. Well, I mean, let me take the opportunity now then to extend condolences, certainly on behalf of the team here at Brass Tacks, to the family of the late Arthur. What was Arthur's last name?
Messiah.
Mr. Messiah, Arthur Messiah.
Yes.
The late Arthur Messiah. Yeah. And certainly they can rest comfortably in the knowledge that he is resting comfortably in knowledge that he had a long sojourn, and he made certainly a distinguished contribution to our conversations on Brass Tacks. He brought many of us information and many more entertainment in the course of conversation that he would have had certainly with me and many others. So sincere condolences. And George, thank you for calling and conveying this information.
I got the lecture club note because he was a race fan.
Oh, he was a racehorse fan? Okay.
Yeah, he was
I didn't know about that part of it. Yeah.
Something that I want to speak with you about, though.
Sure. Okay.
Hey, are you telling some people here about this death penalty thing, right? You hearing me?
Are you hearing you, sir? I just met him a throat. I know that this is going to be a little cuss fest between me and you, so
but
I lubricate the throat.
Somebody, these guys don't know the Harley, right?
But you know.
These guys don't know the Harley. You don't know you get rid of a lot of murder.
Murder is probably a bad word.
No, you get rid of a lot of murder.
So what are you going to say to put me right on the death penalty issue, sir?
The death penalty, as a deterrent, is you have two people here right now that are responsible for four people's death and they're still living.
But don't you have, even if you had a death penalty in place, would you not have to try them?
I'm not finished. I'm giving a background of why the death penalty should be invoked.
George, are you talking about summary justice? Are you talking about popping the necks after they have been tried and convicted? Or you feel that we should just basically arrest them and pop the necks in the police station one time?
No, I'm saying after you try them and the police have been exhausted, after the first one, you would have saved six people's lives.
Yeah, but the point is that the challenge is getting the trials completed and getting it takes. It's been taking 10 years to try somebody for murder.
Yes,
and then after that, you have another 10 years of appeals.
This is true. But
right.
All they got to do is fast forward it.
But how are you going to fast forward it? It's not easy.
Bring the cases forward.
You're dealing with someone's life. You can't fast forward the execution. But why not just give the policeman when they arrest him, they just pop the neck one time?
I am not talking about execution. I'm talking about fast forwarding the trial and the appeals to get them.
So what about the other thing I was talking about, adultery? You will execute somebody for that too?
I don't say that, street man. You can't.
All right. Let me laugh at adultery. What about thiefing? What about thiefing? We want to stop people from thiefing, so should we hang thieves too? Pop the necks?
You can chop off his better hand.
Man, you harsh, man.
I heard a lot of people here talking about we should adopt the Singapore model. We cannot adopt the Singapore model because the people in this country are not disciplined.
I think the people in this country are accustomed to a certain standard of justice and equality and human rights and things of that nature. So chopping off someone's hand in a summary fashion or popping the neck in a summary fashion is not something that we do. Thank goodness.
And like I said, yeah, discipline.
Hey, George, I appreciate the Arthur call. I think the death penalty is an issue that will go on and on. Thankfully, I believe there are more people on your side than mine, but I think the right people are on my side. I don't need to say any more than that. So it's probably not going to happen. Agreed?
Go away, right? Hang a fella. You can't tell nobody that. That's my concept about you as a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
If you hang a fella, you can't tell again.
Mm-hmm.
That is my concept. That's why you get it wrong, too, and the cat defend itself when you ask them.
Oh, yeah, deterrent. That's the deterrent. All right. All right. Thank you very much, George. I appreciate the intervention. All right. We are at 12:53. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We just heard of the passing of Mr. Arthur Messiah, who has been calling the program on a regular basis and speaking to many of us for many years in past. So, again, condolences to the family of Arthur Messiah. This guy, as one person is telling me already on chat, will be sorely missed. And I really look forward to my engagements with Arthur over the years, especially as I know that Arthur and I will never agree. But I always thought that he was a kind, jolly old gentleman to talk to. And I certainly will miss chatting with him. More motes from Mr. Arthur Edwards. Mr. Anti-America is messaging and saying that he has given a big promise to a very influential lady that he will not call the program again. And I'm saying to him here and now that I will not be reading his messages. So if he wants to chat with the public, he will need to call the program again. There are people out there that want to hear from him. There are probably a lot more that don't want to, but so it goes. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Peter.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Hey, how you doing, man?
All right.
This is your boy, the Fish Gate Boss.
Hey, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, good, man. Good. I call you to talk to you about the coronavirus thing, because too many phone calls coming in about that, and everybody expecting to get a different answer from a different moderator. The same answer from expecting to get a different answer from this, from different moderators, right? Here I tell you, I call them about sign-ups different, though. You see the materials that they're doing, they're fixing the airport with.
Which materials are you talking about?
They store them down on the Mighty Grinder Highway.
Oh, you're talking about the aggregate?
Yeah, it is. Right? I don't know if you noticed it, right? But a lot of it is on the road, a whole lot.
Yeah, no, they're doing a really poor job of transporting it, and it seems as though the trucks are too full or something, but half of it ending up on the
road.
You
see right opposite the Fish Gate booth, like when people come in from by the CXC building, cars are just be coming on there at normal speed, they will slow down, and when they stop, they were literally sliding the road.
Okay.
They were literally sliding the road. Mm-hmm. But I realize now that, like, all over the place, they got all over the place, but they got street sweepers, right?
I saw one in operation down there.
Yeah, I know they got a couple of street sweepers, but the only places that I see the street sweepers working, right, is between UE and Warren's Roundabout.
That's right.
Don't, and no further.
So you're calling for street sweepers to come on Colima Rock, too?
To come on Colima Rock.
Yeah.
Oh, that road, and let me tell you something, right, Peter, you see by the junction to the bottom of Colima Rock now, like if you're going across the, if you want to go across the Culloden Road, I was riding coming across here the other day, because I ride a motorcycle, right, I started to slow down, I'm going to get right at the red light, I realized right underneath me, and a good way down, It was just gravel. I had to find a way to start the motorcycle. You just can't stop like that. It is extremely dangerous.
Well, sir, I agree with you I agree with you that it's necessary to have that gravel off the road. It can be a potential problem. I think that the authorities appreciated that. However, they seem to have appreciated it, as you said, between Spring Garden Highway and Warrens, but there's no presumption that these trucks have been messing up roads in other places. So we can take that point very much, all right?
I might close for a couple of weeks.
Oh, you're closed for a few weeks as a result of COVID?
Pardon?
As a result of COVID?
Well, because of it, you know me, I can't afford it, but it's hard. Yeah. When I see people, like at the food establishments, like at Kentucky and Chaffet. You know how hard it is? Because my staff have to wash their hands every couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Right? But when I'm on the road with my van, I have to wash my hands every couple of minutes. You really got to keep your head on as to how or when last you wash your hands. You know, make sure you don't put your hands in your face.
Yeah, but you sanitize instead, though. Because then you're on the road, you can't really wash your hands. You have to sanitize.
No, on the van, I have a bucket with water and soap. Right, nothing beat water and soap.
Well, I hope that your period of absence is not prolonged. I have been speaking to many business people over the past couple of days that all have been saying the same thing. I just saw a taxi driver outside when we took the break, and he said that he hasn't brought his car on the road for the week. He just came in town for something, but ultimately, it's not making sense to play trades in this environment because there's nothing to play. So, as I said, we can only hope that if we follow the instructions and we lock down, that you know you would be selling more fish cakes than ever in another few weeks.
I hope to come back in a couple of weeks, man. But people just not obeying.
But spending time under lockdown trying to identify some new and exciting recipes.
Well, that's what you're doing. I mean, it's like,
experiment with some healthy eats.
I got some people trying to work with.
I would be happy to be a taste tester for you.
Hey, Zork, brother.
Yeah. All right. That's cool, man. All right, sir. Thank you again for calling. Good to hear from you. Several WhatsAppers are offering condolences to the family of Mr. Arthur Messiah, and several people are saying that he will be missed. So certainly we need to use the opportunity to communicate those condolences to the family of the late Arthur Messiah. This is several WhatsApp messages, more than I could ever read. People who want to send their condolences to Arthur, as he is affectionately known, or he was affectionately known. Dr. Brassax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Well, not too bad.
Good. Good to
I
hear you.
I didn't believe you would be on today, man.
Well, I didn't believe it either. I thought I was in a dream when I got the call last night.
Okay. Anyhow, I send my condolences out there to Arthur's family. Well, yes. And let me be quick. As usual. Now, Tuesday, we spoke about the pension, and that was one part of the equation. But I ain't looking down the ladder at another part that may be very important to the postal workers. I am worrying if whether or not the postal services will be effective in the long run. By government laying off some more the postmen, saying that they don't have the duties to perform a kind of checks and such like. I am watching, I'm assuming that with less work, that may be an issue that is a hidden agenda. Now, that is my opinion.
Let me help you with that, sir. Let me help you with that. There was a time when we had postmen delivering twice a day, you remember?
Yep.
Right. And we used to play a trick as children. We would, during the summer when you had nothing to do, buy a stamp, an address, a letter to your friend, post it in the morning to see if it could get there in the afternoon. You remember those days?
But I come from the country. We only had postal service once.
Y'all right? Once a week?
Yeah. No. Once a day.
Yeah, no, we had twice a day. So the point I'm making, sir, is that I am absolutely sure, in the same way that postal services drop from twice a day to once a day, and in the same way that postmen are now not delivering to your door or your window, but delivering to a post box outside your house, I am absolutely sure that there will be less post people in a few years than there are now. So good. I don't think that is a guess. The fact of the matter is, rationalization of postal services will mean there will be less persons needed to operate the post.
Good. That's for that one.
And I would go further and say this, that we may want to defer the inevitable for a short period of time, but it will come. Whether we like it or not, it will come.
All right, Pete. Let me be quick, because I got to go. Mm-hmm. No, I heard you made mention to begin that those people who don't get on board, you said the train was going to leave them or something to that effect.
Right. Yeah.
But you know that the world... The train gets stuck.
What do you mean by corona?
Yeah, the whole world gets stuck. You know that.
I actually think that the coronavirus will help to speed up a lot of these processes that would involve posts.
But all I'm telling you, whether will you believe about speed, the speed of the world gets stuck.
You know why I disagree with you? I think that if there's one lesson that the corona era has taught us is that we can do business differently and we can do business remotely in more occasions. Look at what has happened. More workers have been working online, right? More classes have been offered online. Mm-hmm. More services have been offered online. People are encouraging, the banks are encouraging people to go electronic and do more business online. The lesson in all of this, sir, is that facilities like a postal service are a relic of an era that has long since passed. And I do not honestly think that the corona has hampered the movement away from postal services. I think, if anything, it has hampered, it has encouraged us to go online.
And I'm moving from this point. Mm-hmm. The world gets stuck.
Mm-hmm.
the traveling of people all get stopped. Mm-hmm. Good? All the plans about licking down and pulling down get stopped. Now, let me go on to what we
have. Things can get laid down or pulled down, don't worry, but the buildings will come down.
It regardless of what happened, and it teaches something. Mm. And I can deal with that now. All I tell you, the world gets stopped. Good. Now, let me go on to what I am telling you now. You know, last Tuesday, we planned to speak about the Democratic Labour Party.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. I heard you made mention this morning that you feel the DLP should get the money that the officers is asking for. Now, let me say this up front. I don't believe no political party, whether in government or opposition, should be taking the taxpayers' money to support an organization that making them millionaires. None need to be D, C, D, or E. These organizations have rich people within them. We talk about private sector. It is a disgrace, and I can tell you why. I was in support of the Democratic Labour Party years ago. And I remember when that auditorium was being built by the membership of the Democratic Labour Party. It's a shame I passed across the other day going to pay my insurance. And when I saw George Street, the building that Leah Walden Barr put his confidence in the supporters of the party, and see one of the windows nail up the galvanized. Mm-hmm. You could imagine. You had ministers of parliament. You had people who went overseas mission. You want to tell me that not one of those branches could adopt a window or a door or a siding to make the headquarters, that they came and found, let me repeat it, they came and found a whole auditorium and a building out of the hands of people like Astar B. Watson. Let me mention this. You know Astar B. Watson very well, mm-hmm. And Peter?
I do, yeah.
Astar tried his best. I remember at one conference that the little bag was keeping, gave over $5,000 to the headquarters about the, from the contributions that he made from the little bar that he ran on Fridays. You want to tell me a political party that's over 60 years old should be about there and the state that it in?
It shouldn't. How is Astar doing these days, incidentally?
The last time we talked with Astar, he was pretty good.
He's good, okay. But he not getting no at all?
No. Yeah. Let me go on, because whenever I hear people talking...
Sir, look, I just want to say, I can't say I agree with you. My central premise is this. The work that political parties do is not work for themselves. It is work for us. Political parties are an essential ingredient, sir. But I listen to you, just listen to me. Political parties are an essential ingredient to Corona. I hear you cough, so that set me off, right? political parties are an essential ingredient to democracy. We can't have democracy without political parties. If it is that we want to have a properly functioning democracy, we need political organizations to be hale and hearty. That was the reason that, look, when we started to talk about political party financing reform back in the 90s, it was at that point that the decision was taken to give the parties a little assistance, because what happened is you had the 26-3, the 24-3, and then you had the 26-2. And in both instances, the party that was on the receiving end of that fierce whipping was finding themselves in serious financial jeopardy, because the MPs that made contributions were not in a position to make contributions because there were not enough MPs. So that is the basic problem. And I think that if we accept that parties are important, then somebody has to pay for them. And what has been happening historically is that parties go to the private sector. And I think that also opens up the system to corruption. So I like the idea of the parties being able to benefit from money. Now, whether or not they use their money wisely is another matter altogether. And I would argue with you, sir, that there is a substantial basis for arguing that the Democratic Labour Party has not been very prudent with the way that they have spent their own money over the last 10 years, because the condition of that building is appalling. One would argue that it should not surprise any of us because they haven't really been prudent with how they handled our money either. So one would expect that if you can't spend our money properly, we can't spend your own properly neither. But notwithstanding, I still think that there's a basis to be said how the party that gets 30% of popular support ought to be able to get a few dollars
not
to help
pay
the light bill and the water bill and to employ two or three ladies to answer the phone.
Listen, and I can repeat it.
Mama, you ain't gonna be so harsh.
You going over this thing all the time. What's the purpose of a general secretary?
A secretary general?
A general secretary of a political organization.
He runs the organization.
No, tell me. And I keep asking this, and I was hated within the realms of a jar trick for this purpose. I asked if you're a friend, you know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You have a general secretary that could not get a branch run, and you expect him to run a whole party? Huh?
Yeah, but, could everybody out there is a B?
Well, whether a B or not,
you got to scrape up two or three Dems in St. Thomas.
Huh?
But it's the same problem.
It's
the same problem.
But the fact remains is this. How do you think that Griffith got in St. John? Because the people, if you mix with the people, you cannot have a general secretary that far away. You know what happened with George Street? You have a lot of politicians that is, I would consider them as, what would you call them? Air conditioned? General secretaries and air conditioned? People who do not come out in the sun and don't understand what is the purpose of running a political organization. That is the reason why the Democratic Labour Party has failed. Because you've got a lot of people that you sit down and like a close brother in church and choose them as candidates.
I can't agree with you. I've seen George on the ground fairly heavily. I don't know about the current general secretary. But ultimately, I've seen George on the ground. And I know he used to spend a lot of time on the ground in that 10-year period because he was the one that always said that he had to hold together the party supporters. So these are the ones that they were called. George also had a special role regarding the Young Democrats and the youth arm of the organization, and he used to seem to fulfill that role.
And let me ask you one question.
Sure.
You joined the party with David Thompson or with Albar?
I joined with Albar.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you were any of the Young Democrats with David Thompson?
I was in there with David Thompson, yeah. Chris and Rudy Grant and all of us.
Talk about Chris. You and David and George and all of them.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that it's not. And then I look at someone like Bamford. Bamford was one of the better general secretaries that the Democratic Labour Party
had.
I forget that Chris was a general secretary. He was?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot that he was. But Bamford was one of the better ones. And I mean, but Bamford was as visible as George was.
But no, you're gone, you move on George Pilgrim, and you're gone to Gleeson Mears. Birds, then you tackle one, and you tackle the other.
You don't think that Gleeson is effective as a general secretary?
Huh?
You don't think he's effective as a general secretary?
Where you got a party that reeling and all it, no, none of them can't come to the country and explain to them what have they done over the 2 years. Mayor Motley could come. Prime Minister Mia Martin could come and tell you what her cabinet has done. Mm-hmm. I want the executive of the Democratic Labour Party on the presidency of Verlinde Pisa, along with Gleeson Mears, the general secretary, to come out to the public and tell them what they have done so that the country could support them. Mm-hmm. That's all they want them to do.
All right. Fair enough. I guess we'll hear some about that when all of this corona stuff pipes down a bit. Maybe we'll start to hear about the Democratic Labour Party, because I still need to get the St. Lucie nomination question answered, and I can't hear from nobody whether it's true or not, these rumors I'm hearing about certain people being nominated for St. Lucie. All right? Thanks a lot. This is Down to Brass Talks. Good afternoon.